think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart.
We don't have any idea why
we're
doing
so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing.
But here's the deal. Turns out, it's more than the thought that counts. I'm Art Markman.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy.
And this
is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, the psychology of gift giving.
Well, I mean, certainly people give gifts for different reasons, some of which they're aware of, some of which they aren't. But, you know, it's interesting how people who feel obligated to give a gift or think that they should give a gift are coming from a different perspective than people who feel like, I just want to do this for somebody because doing this will make me feel good, you know. And I think, too, we probably ought to expand the discussion today to consider gifts as more than things, right? I mean, there are all kinds of smaller things that people do that are not tangible things. I mean, you know, helping somebody with a task they're doing at their home could be seen as a gift. I mean, so I think we probably need to expand the discussion and the thinking to include more than just something you buy and give to somebody else. Right.
And there's also the issue of expectation. So one of the things we know about positive affect, positive feeling, is that getting an unexpected gift actually makes you feel good. So, you know, if you walk into work one day and there's a little chocolate on your desk, that unexpected gift would make you feel good. And so going around doing things for people that were unexpected, and as Bob is saying, it could be giving them some tangible item, but it could just be an unexpected thank you. Right, an unexpected recognition for something nice that someone did that's a gift,
yeah.
And that can really lift someone's mood. So a lot of the times, those kinds of gifts are just an unalloyed positive, unless somebody is trying to figure out why you just gave them a gift. But I think that it's also important for us to recognize that a lot of gift-giving situations are socially prescribed gift-giving situations, in which case they can create a lot of stress.
Yeah, but really, the idea of gift-giving really is a reflection, if everything's cooked right, that you've thought ahead of time about somebody else's feelings and about their wants and desires and kind of things, and you've taken some tangible action in relationship to that. Now, that part of gift-giving, that's a lovely, precious thing. What gets screwed up about it is the expectation that something's going to happen because you're supposed to bring something. And unfortunately, for the givers of gifts, it's the receiver of the gift that is interpreting, you know, its appropriateness, its value, its whatever. And so, you know, this is a lot of issues to be considering when you're making a decision about getting a gift right. for somebody.
And that does, it creates stress for people.
Yeah.
Because as Bob is saying, one of the things you're trying to do is to demonstrate to the person you're buying the gift for that you actually know something about them. And so when you really get a great gift for somebody, it's a gift that lies at that intersection between who you are and who the recipient
That's
is.
That's beautifully put.
And so when you really nail that, you've given them something that touches them because it recognizes something about who they are. And at the same time, it is uniquely a gift that you could give them because it also has a piece of you and therefore a piece of your relationship in it.
Yep.
That's an awfully high bar.
It is a
high
bar.
For a lot of gifts. One of the things about gifts is it's very hard to get people a functional gift, even if they need it. Right, because gifts have a sense of joy and frivolity to them, right? And so, you know, giving somebody
a battery for the car,
right? Yeah, exactly. Is you know, those kinds of functional gifts, I think, you know, they feel out of the spirit of things. And there's a really nice discussion about money as a gift. So Viviana Zelizer, who's a sociologist, does a lot of work on money. And she talks about the fact that when you give money, for one thing, you tend to try to get a really crisp new bill if it's gonna be a bill, right? You don't just pull a ratty $20 bill out of your pocket, put it in an envelope. You know, you tend to demarcate the bill in a special way, even though from an economic standpoint, every bill is as good as every other one. And then there's kind of an expectation on the part of the recipient that you're gonna use that money for something enjoyable. So you may end up choosing to take that money and use it to pay your electric bill, but you feel a little bad about it. Right. Then there's things like family holiday parties where you are now obligated to give gifts to several people all at the same time, in which comparisons are going to be made across gifts.
Yeah.
And the comparisons are not just in financial terms of, oh, this person got a bigger gift, but also in investment terms, emotionally and in time. So to what degree did you really get a gift that nails your relationship with a particular person, and then got something that was just horribly off base for somebody else, where now you're thinking, well, great, as a recipient, that person got this heartfelt gift and I got a bottle of wine. And they're like, no, that suits you.
You know, something that I think takes the pressure off gift giving at prescribed designated times is when you think about the people you care about, and we're still talking about our inner circle here. I mean, there are many occasions where I'm, you know, in a store or something, and I come across something, I think, boy, that looks just like, you know, some loved one. And I buy that. And some people do that and say, I'll buy that, and then I'll stash it away and wait until the prescribed time and then give it to them because it's so perfect and it's so them. And I think the question you have to ask ourselves is, why wait? The unexpected are the things that create the greatest emotional response. And now the memory of that is much more persistent than the memory of which Christmas it was that whoever gave me that thing, or the wedding when you have to make careful notes to remember who gave you what fork and you know, all that kind of stuff. What those sort of planned events that, you know, are gift swaps, what they often do, not only is artists saying that none of they create stress, but it creates a whole other layer of bookkeeping that really sort of takes away from the joy that should be the centerpiece of what's going on.
Next week, we'll talk about swearing and the brain with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.